Good morning, Chelveston, Caldecott and Chelston Rise. It's Tuesday the 9th of June, and this is Adrian Dale with the Daily Podcast. When the church was running its Pause for Thought podcasts, which ran for 50 episodes, they were produced by Father Paul Needle, and I was always impressed that Paul had lined up his topics well in advance, and he had pre-recorded the material. He always delivered the podcast well in advance of my production deadline. It was only later that I realised that Paul had been a BBC producer for 15 years. He's a consummate professional and certainly knows what he's doing. Contrast that with yours truly. The ideas for my podcast generally arrive mid-afternoon after I've read the papers, studied the government announcements and read the postings on WhatsApp. I then spend a couple of hours frantically writing and doing some of the preliminary recording and editing work. Then next day I get up early, check nothing has changed, listen once more, and re-record anything I'm not happy with. The production target is 6:30 a.m. So I was quite chuffed with myself to make a decision over a week ago that today's podcast would be a report on last night's parish council meeting. I knew that some important topics were being debated, and I thought that a timely verbal report might be helpful to people in the parish. It was only when I sat down at my desk yesterday afternoon that reality dawned. The parish council meeting sometimes doesn't finish till 9 p.m. Then I do a video call with Helen, by which time it's well past my bedtime. So when exactly was I going to do the writing and recording? So my normal silly o'clock wake-up call today was an hour earlier. But even then, production times were tight. If this is to be a regular thing, as some people would like, I may have to rethink the production timings. Parish councils were created under the Local Government Act of 1894, and their work is governed by many rules and regulations. These are embodied in a huge yellow legal tome that Mark has read and digested. Mark is a fellow of the Society of the Local Council Clerks, and he's probably the most experienced and qualified clerk in the county. He's able to guide the councillors in their deliberations, but at the end of the day, the decisions are theirs to make. Some of these decisions are routine and mundane, paying the street lighting bills and stationery costs, for example. Other decisions are much more controversial, usually based around planning matters. Unfortunately, every council meeting is a mixture of both, and there's a lot to cover. When I first joined the council in 1996, we only met every 2 months. However, the council now meets 11 times a year, and meetings generally last around 90 minutes. Even with this many meetings, the agenda can be packed. There were 37 items formally on the agenda last night, and you'll be very glad to know that I'm not going to go through each of them in turn. There were some technical challenges last night, with several people being unable to join by video. Fortunately, there was an audio option too. This wasn't ideal, as obviously we couldn't see the documents being presented. However, business was still able to go ahead. The chair of the council is now Councillor Andrew Seaman, who lives on the Raunds Road. He was elected as chair at the last meeting. The first job last night was to co-opt two new councillors to fill the vacancies left by the resignation of James Pentlow and Ray Daniels. There were three candidates, which is always good, but choosing two of these can be very difficult. I've done it many times, but it always feels wrong to have to reject someone who's prepared to serve. After two rounds of voting, Neil Chambers from Hillside and Clinton Hill from Chelston Rise were co-opted to serve until the next election in May 2021. So welcome on board, councillors. Sarah Cinnamond also stood as a candidate, but was unsuccessful on this occasion. Please don't give up hope, Sarah. Neil was pipped at the post last time there was a vacancy, and he has come back for a second time successfully. I really hope that Sarah will stand at the election in 2021. We really need people who are prepared to serve, so thank you, Sarah. Neil and Clinton are now able to use the title councillor whenever on parish duties or liaising with other bodies. Believe me, it can help. The next item was the election of the vice chair. Jenny Harwood was nominated and agreed to take on the role. The council has many positions of responsibility to fill each year, including the appointment of trustees to four village charities. There are also several portfolios to look after, from the councillor overseeing the allotments to the parish tree warden. Some of these portfolios have been allocated to residents in order to spread the load. Each portfolio holder reports into the council every month. I won't go through all the appointments made last night. They'll be listed in the minutes on the council website. However, I know how much work is involved with each of these jobs, and I'd like to say thank you to all the people who stepped forward to fill the roles. Each month, whenever possible, the meeting is attended by our district and county councillors. Councillor Harriet Pentland attended by phone last night, making her usual well-considered report on district matters. Having a district councillor who lives in the parish is a real bonus. I, for one, am not looking forward to the dissolution of East Northamptonshire and Northamptonshire councils. I know there have been financial problems at Northamptonshire, but I'm not convinced that the new system will work well for us in this parish. The council then considered the planning application for a football facility on Newton Road near the roundabout on the A6 and B645. The idea had broad support, but there were some reservations from councillors about the level of traffic at the Newton Road junction, especially given the fact that another school is planned near Moulton College. There was also an application for a carport to the rear of Redwood on the Raunds Road. No objections were raised by the council. Mark reported that the proposed industrial estate near Chelston Rise was still under consideration. The council's objections have been lodged, and several residents from Chelston Rise have also raised their own objections. Now, this application is completely contrary to the local plan and the neighbourhood plan. By rights, it should be rejected out of hand by the District Council's Development Committee. However, the application is linked to the development of housing at the A6-B645 roundabout in Higham Ferrers. New housing is desperately needed to fill a district quota, and this may ultimately sway the decision. The financial position of the council was reported by Mark. There's a healthy balance of just over £15,300. Over £3,000 of this were donations received to restore the Cross of Sorrow in the churchyard. This work is now underway. Reports were received from the portfolio holders, including all the charities. There was nothing particular to note there, other than an admission from me that I'm actually well behind on some of the Lengthsman projects that I've been allocated. Just before lockdown, the council asked me to replace two of the village notice boards, which are looking very tatty. I've also have to repaint one of the gateways up on the Raunds Road. Hopefully I can start this work once all the emergency work has drawn to a close. The council then debated the winding down of its emergency provisions, as I proposed on the podcast on Sunday. All of the proposals were agreed. The emergency provisions will be wound down after the end of the Scarecrow competition on Saturday. The final daily podcast and the daily newsletter will be issued on Sunday the 14th of June. And the council's association with the WhatsApp group will end at that point, and the group will become a standalone community forum. The final item of business was the renewal of the agreement for the supply of water to the allotments. Keith Carr provides the council with a metered supply, tapped off the water main feeding his field. This saved the council the cost of laying its own main, and I know from the recent work at the church just how much this can cost. So there you have it, folks, another busy night for the council. Many residents don't realise just how much work goes on quietly behind the scenes in the village. Every council meeting is open to the public, but only a few diehards attend regularly. Although it has its challenges, the virtual meeting process has certainly opened up the meeting to a wider audience. I do hope this can continue with live streaming once the council can meet again in the village hall. However, that's for the council to debate in the future, so watch this space. Thank you.